This is the world famous Bill Hendry Show.
I think we live in a culture that things whip around.
We decided to form a Tea Party caucus for one very important purpose.
I think that Levi's actions will speak louder.
I want Nancy Reagan to die, but before she dies, I want the woman to suffer.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this here show. Coming up tonight, we're going to have more on this Shirley Sherrod White House thing that we didn't understand last night. We probably won't understand it any better tonight. Anybody figure that one out? Has anybody figured out why Breitbart and Coast and who, you know, why all these people are wetting their pants over this story? And the NAACP. And we also have Larry Grover joining us on the latest on the Tea Party. GOP caucus has defended the Tea Party, saying it is not racist. Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County going to be joining us next hour. And we have coming up this hour Don Mixa from the University of Washington on a new class that they are offering at the University of Washington that Don's going to be involved in, the evolution of the male in relation to the female in the 21st century. It's a relationship class based upon the Mel Gibson story. 877-876-PHIL. Also, our affiliate spotlight tonight, taking a look at Dallas-Fort Worth's KFXR 1190 AM, the Phil Hendry affiliate in Dallas, and in Santa Fe, KTRC 1260 AM in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Great stations on the Phil Hendry Show network. Our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Unless you have a backstage pass, you're sort of missing a big portion of the program, and a big portion of this show is watching the show. This is the only radio show that you're going to see performed that is actually interesting to watch, as well as listen to. philhendryshow.com. You can also have access to our archives. You have access to our comments section on our news feed. You have email access to me, Phil, and so much more with a BSP at philhendryshow.com. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll bring on Don Mixa here from Seattle this evening as we talk about the Mel Gibson story. And we're going to discuss this from a bit of a different point of view, and that is from the standpoint of an educator. And Don, good evening.
Well, good evening, Phil.
And the class that you're going to be teaching is called what?
The class that we put together at UW is called The Evolving Man in Relation to Woman. And
The Evolving Man in Relation to Woman. And it was inspired by?
It was inspired, indeed, by the Mel Gibson story and the discussions that I had with a lot of students that I talked to after class and off campus. And I thought that it was a little bit of a change of pace too, for a lot of our students who are involved in our engineering program, which is also what I'm involved in. So it's not a psychology class. It's more of a sociology class. And I think it's needed, to be honest with you. I couldn't get the psychology department interested in it. But I think it's needed because I think there's a very, very profound message being communicated here.
So you think that there's a message for the American man in this Mel Gibson story? And I would agree with you, although I don't know what you think the message is. Tell me.
Well, I think that Mel Gibson is exhibiting, I think he's actually exhibiting a level of freedom now. This is going to be hard for people to understand, but let me just go through this very carefully. We are, you and I, Phil, are average men, and we don't have Russian models in our lives. Mel Gibson has a Russian model in his life now. The way he talks to this woman is, I think, over the line a little bit.
A little bit, huh?
Well, I think it's over the line a lot, probably, but I think we're missing the lesson. What we are missing, because we're so caught up in this relationship story, we are missing the very obvious fact that this is a man who doesn't care whether or not a Russian model is going to sleep with him ever again. If you think about it, I don't know that there is a heterosexual man in America that could watch a woman as beautiful as that walk out of his bedroom never wanting to be with him again. I don't know whether that guy would be happy about that, and I don't think I know of any heterosexual man in this country who would willingly and with malice aforethought try to destroy a relationship with a gorgeous woman like that. And yet there's Mel Gibson doing it.
And all right, well, all right, so there's Mel Gibson doing it. Mel Gibson is he's destroying whatever relationship he had with a beautiful Russian model. And you describe that as him exhibiting freedom.
Absolutely.
Why?
I think it is freedom that very few men are going to be able to express in their lives. If you look at what you and I and most American men are married to, we love our wives very much. And we love our wives very much. But when you look at, to find a way to put this, if you look at what you when you get home, and when I get home,
well, I'm not married.
Okay, but boy, married man, if you have a girlfriend or something, Phil.
No, I'm quite solo.
All right, then I would say that.
Well, I mean, I'm not solo, but I you know, my wife Maria, I still call her my wife, if that's what you're referring to, and we are in business together, and you know.
Well, okay, let me just take this back to the beginning, Phil. All right,
I think I know what you're talking about. You're saying men today who are in relationships, no matter what.
Exactly, and if you look at, I get home at night, and I love my wife very, very much. My wife's name is Carol, and I'm just proud of the fact that we have endured as long as we have, and we've hung in as long as we've had. We've hung in, you know. And, but I get home and I take a look at, what I've got and what a lot of men have, and you don't have. I don't have. No man has really the Russian model built beautiful woman, and that's at home every night waiting for Mel Gibson, and yet he is throwing her out with yesterday's trash. Now, we are not free. This is a freedom that we're never going to know. Freedom for a man. You know, you need that one extra thing in life. You need to be free. You need to not only be successful, but you need to be free. And
all right, well, you're talking a lot here, Don, about freedom. So in the class that you teach, The Evolving Man in Relation to Woman, are you claiming that real freedom for a man is to be able to treat a woman the way Mel Gibson is? Not treat her.
No, I'm not saying treat a woman like that.
No, you're right. Not treat a woman like that, but to be able to take a beautiful Russian model and tell her to get out and not care.
That is a level of freedom that men, in the sexual reality of what a man is, that is a level of freedom that most men don't know. Right now, we look at Mel Gibson as men, and we say, we don't understand. We don't understand. If I had that, boy, I would never throw it into the street, especially when I come home to what I got.
You keep saying when I come home to what I got. Are you saying that men are not happy, you know, with their wife?
No. I'm not saying that men are not happy with their wife. I'm saying that we're not married to Russian models. We're not married to a dark-eyed, beautiful, gypsy creature like that. We're married to the wife that we've got, and we are in love with her to the extent that you're in love with a woman after, you know, 20 years or so. And I think it's wonderful to have that kind of love, but I'm saying that if we had a Russian model, would you and I be screaming at her? No. Would the men that are listening to this program tonight be yelling at her and throwing her out? No. Is Mel Gibson? Yes.
Well, Mel Gibson sounds crazy, though.
Mel Gibson may sound crazy, but he has reached a point of success in his life where he can say to a beautiful woman, get out, and I don't care if I ever see you again. That's something you can't do. That's something I can't do. As average men, we're never going to be we're not going to upgrade. We're not free. It reminds us that we will never have the guts or the freedom to scream at and belittle, if I could be colloquial for a moment, Phil, a piece of ass.
Well, what's so good about that, though? You know?
Well, let me explain what's good about it.
What would be, what do I call that, a badge of freedom, to say I'm able to belittle and scream at a woman?
No, I didn't say a woman. I said a piece of tail.
All right, a really gorgeous woman. You mean like a guy's fantasy kind of woman?
Exactly. If you had the Playboy bunnies, are you going to yell at them and scream at them and tell them how much you hate them and force them out of the house? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. But if you had enough money, and if you had enough success, and if you had power, you would be able to belittle a Playboy centerfold, tell her to get out of your house, get out of your life, and it wouldn't bother you at all because you have achieved freedom. The freedom to be able to tell something like that to get out. And that's what we're teaching in the evolving male in relation to women.
Well, are you teaching men how to have this freedom?
We're teaching men how to recognize it, yes.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Don Mixa from the University of Washington. He's in Seattle tonight. Are you in a restaurant? Because I think I can hear a restaurant.
We're actually at the Starbucks down the road from you, and I got some of my students here with me, and we do have a little bit of a, I guess you could say, a discussion every night after class, and I move from each table to one table to the next, and I straighten things out. I've always got my students waving at me, hey, Dr. Mixa, would you come over here and straighten out this conversation we're having about the war in Iraq or something like that, you know?
All right, so the goal of the class, the evolving man in relation to woman, the goal in the class is to teach men that they will have freedom.
The goal of the class is to teach men that they will know real freedom when they are able to look at a buxom centerfold and tell her, guess what, I don't want you around me. Get away from me because I don't need to hang on your every whim because I have power and freedom. And I can draw women like you to me. It's basically the freedom to say to a woman that's got a, 44 double D, get out. And I don't think there's a man listening right now that could do that.
Except for Mel Gibson.
Hey, if Mel Gibson was listening, yeah, he could.
All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, talking to Don Mixa about the Mel Gibson story. Mel Gibson's rage and anger at this beautiful woman is actually emblematic of a freedom that he has that we as men don't have, other men don't have, because we don't have a beautiful model in our life that we can say, get out to. We have what we have. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more from Don Mixa and your phone calls on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Show
877-876-PHIL. As we're talking here with Professor Don Mixa from University of Washington on the evolving man in relation to woman, which is a series of lectures that he's delivering at the University of Washington. It was all inspired by, and it's interesting that this happens more and more, all inspired by the actual real life events of Mel Gibson. And Don, what you're telling me is that what we have learned in the Mel Gibson story is that as odious as his behavior is to this woman, he has freedom that we as men, other men, don't have.
Yeah, it's. I'm not signing off on the ways communicating with this woman, but that's not the point. The point is, as men, we see Mel Gibson, and he's on the phone, and he's yelling at this woman, and he's telling her, get out of my house, get out of my life. And we are, as men, confused because we say, this guy has a woman in his life who is about as beautiful as, I mean, she is solid gold, and you look at her, and she, everything about her is a sex fantasy, and yet there's Mel Gibson throwing her out. We come home and we take a look at the woman that we've got, and we love her, but we don't even have the. We're not going to tell her to leave. But can you imagine the freedom that a man has who can come home to a piece of tail like that? And I use that term, Phil, just to be descriptive,
Well, you said Playboy bunnies, or
yeah, any kind of a center. High society centerfolder, and telling that to get out, you must have a lot in reserve, I think is probably the point. And I think we need as men to recognize, yes, what Mel Gibson is doing is bad, but he can do it because he's so powerful. He can tell a piece of something like that, piece of pie if you want, like that to get out and never darken his sheets again.
His sheets. 877-876-PHIL, talking to Don Mixa here on the Phil Hendry Show. And let's move to Maria in Los Angeles. Maria, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to make a couple of comments, please. The first thing, I'm not saying what Mel Gibson is doing and saying was right. Please, it's not. But he's talking about that woman like she's, the Virgin Mary. To me, he was a married man with 8 kids when she met him, so she was no big, big to do. Second of all, the kind of women that he's talking about are only going to be with rich, powerful men, beautiful women, buxom women that are playboy. They're not going to be with ditch diggers. So the men that they're with are only with the men for what they can give them. And that's why men have the power. That's what I want to say.
Men don't have power. Mel Gibson is the kind of man that has power.
Men with money have power. That's what you're saying. But the kind of women that you're talking about are only with...
The word I used, Maria, was freedom. I didn't use power. Freedom is different from power.
Well, they're freedom. Yes.
Yes.
No, them women.
Freedom of movement.
The women that you're talking about are only going to be with wealthy men. You're not going to find these beautiful centerfolds with ditch diggers.
Well, I think that what that does is it propels us to... And it propels us to success. So, for instance, if I'm coming home every night to, whatever I'm coming home to, and I want to do what Mel Gibson's doing, then I'm going to try to work harder, Phil. And I think this is the message for the American dream in a lot of ways.
You're talking about this woman like she's some kind of a wonderful person and beautiful. First of all, she's not beautiful with her. She's just not. She's just an ordinary woman. Number one.
I beg to differ. I mean, you're talking to a man now. Let's talk. Yeah, you're talking to a man. Talk to other men about this. I think that they feel rather differently about that, Maria. But
that's a matter of opinion how somebody looks. But she was a married man with 8 kids. He had a right to throw her out. Who is she? To me, she's nothing. Absolutely
nothing.
Well,
he can do that, but, with the freedom and the power that he has been able to accrue over the years, he can look straight at a woman with a chest.
Yes, that's right.
With a large chest and say, get out of my house.
But
because
you don't understand.
I can go get a pair of large breasts anywhere I want.
Right.
Most guys can't do that.
The women with the large breasts are with men like him, so they deserve what they get. They know when they're getting into the relationship, it's for money.
It depends. I mean, we've seen a lot of women with large breasts. But see, here's the thing. If a guy comes home at night and he sees whatever it is he's married to, and then he sees her, now you say she's nothing special. But to a guy like me or Mr. Hendry or...
Well, don't put me in
there. No, I'm sorry, sir.
She is. She's gorgeous, and she's a, did you see this girl? I mean, she is
I'm a singer. I don't think she's so beautiful. And like I keep saying to you...
You're a woman.
Of course,
you're a woman.
And I know many men who don't, but that's got nothing to do with
it.
What you don't...
You're not looking at her. You're not looking at her as a piece of pie,
Of course not. She's a woman. And she knew when... But you won't accept the fact that you're saying she's a beautiful, gorgeous woman, and you talk about these the women, and then you don't want to accept the fact that they are only with wealthy men and powerful men, and men that can throw them out.
If you have a man and he's coming home to you every night and he sees her, what do you think?
I know a lot of guys say, what the hell did he see in her?
No, but if he's coming home to you every night.
What do you mean her?
I'm trying to say that if a guy sees Maria or what I'm married to, and then he sees Oksana.
But Oksana is nothing to look at, what you're trying to say. And that is a matter of opinion.
And
I don't believe that.
I'm looking at.
You think that every man that saw her thinks she's gorgeous?
Have you seen what she's equipped with?
I've seen a picture of the girl. I saw a picture of her in Happier Times with Mel Gibson. She's very beautiful. There's no question. But Hollywood seems to be just loaded down with all kinds of beautiful women.
But this girl is a natural. She's a Russian, which means there's no fake breasts. The Russians don't do that.
I don't know.
Well, ma'am, you're the one that's saying that you think you know what a hot-looking woman means. You're not a man. compare.
Okay.
So, all right, go ahead.
What I'm really trying to say is the women that you are describing are only with men that are wealthy. And in that way, the men have the wealth and the power. They can throw the women out. And you don't want to accept that.
You have to be free in your mind to be able to look at an enormous pair of breasts like that and say,
Get out.
All right, we got to take a break. Thank you, Maria, very much. 877-876-PHIL with Don Mixer, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Henry.
I mean, to say a big pair of boo-boo.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's 877-876-PHIL for the phone number and our website, philhenryshow.com. And we have Don Mixa, professor of engineering at the University of Washington, who's actually taken some time to teach a class on relationships because of the relationship you have with your students, right?
Well, you know, Phil, I spent a lot of time with my students, and we will talk about this and that, and it's not always about engineering. It'll be about the news and things that are happening. I mean, I have a good relationship with my students. We do a lot of Starbucks together, and as I mentioned to you, I'm usually going from table to table. And a lot of my students said, what do you think of Mel Gibson, this, that, and this was what I came up with.
All right, before we get to some phone calls, my question is this, because I think the lady that we were talking to had a good point. Men with money and men with power tend to get these kinds of women, right?
That is correct, but let me add that Mel Gibson shows us as men the ideal, not the ideal in the way he speaks to that girl necessarily, but it is the ideal that you would have that kind of success, that kind of money, and that kind of power, and freedom. Freedom is the most important word. So that someday, as American men, we would have as much freedom as a Mel Gibson to tell a pair of breasts and a rear end like that, to, if they don't like it, they can get out. They can get, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, they can get out. Now, most guys are not going to say that to a woman like that. But to be successful and to have the freedom in our society, and I can tell you, Phil, if this helps men become hard charging and more driven, it's not a completely terrible thing.
But did you hear what the way he was talking to that girl?
You keep talking about her as a girl. She's a woman. She can take it. Mel Gibson is Mel Gibson. I think she. I think if you want the truth be told, that woman is probably in a sort of an element of happiness, knowing that she's actually getting read the riot act by none other than Mel Gibson. That she has prompted an emotional response from someone like Mel Gibson has probably been a very exciting thing for her. That she, got Mel Gibson hot, whatever you want to call it. So as American men, when we come home at night and we look at the woman we married, and then we realize that if we had some more power and we had a little more drive in our lives, we could be Mel. You know, we could have that. We could have Mel Gibson's world. I think it's something to think about.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. And let's go over to a phone call here. We have Christopher in Detroit tonight listening on WDTW. Christopher, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Don Mixa.
Hello, Mr.
Christopher.
Hello, Mr. Henry. How are you?
Fine.
I think this guy's out of his mind, to be honest with you. I totally think he's out of his mind. I'm not sure where he's from. I'm quite sure he's from the West Coast. I'm from the East Coast. It doesn't make any sense. A woman will be with you because she wants to be with you. She will be with you for your money. She will be with you for your power. She will be with you for... But there is...
That's what I'm... I don't think that...
No way that you're going to keep someone with you.
Let me explain it to you.
Sir, you don't have to explain it to
me. Yeah,
let me explain.
I'm saying in order for you to have the freedom that Mel Gibson has, you've got to have that money and that power, and then you could. Let's talk about Christopher. Have you ever told a beautiful woman to get out of your house?
Sir, you don't have to. Okay,
I'm in Detroit right now.
I would never tell a woman to get out of my house. because
you don't have the power. You don't have the power to attract a woman like that.
It has nothing to do with power. That's what you think it has to do with. Okay?
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with power, sir. It really
doesn't. You're not going to get a beautiful woman in your life unless you have the freedom to tell her to get out.
I have a beautiful woman. I've had one for 22 years. And I didn't have to marry her.
Yeah. Okay. You know,
didn't have to marry
her. A lot of these guys, of course, the guy's going to say he's got a beautiful woman, but.
Say again, sir?
You know, well, you think you've got a beautiful woman.
You guys out there on the West Coast are just out of your mind. It doesn't make any sense. Okay?
You think you've got a beautiful woman.
You don't treat a woman.
It doesn't make any sense because you're not really that intelligent, Dan.
Whoa, hold on for a minute, okay?
Well, you keep saying you guys on the West Coast. I'm not on the West Coast. I'm in Seattle. That's the Northwest.
That's still the West Coast.
That's not the West Coast like Los Angeles.
I'm sorry, Christopher. We were just talking. So what is your point, Don?
My point is that Christopher doesn't even, he's not even in the ballgame here. He's still finding his seats. I don't think this guy, what I'm saying is,
and now he
a gorgeous
wants to
woman like, a, well, yeah, because you don't know what I'm talking about. A gorgeous woman
go.
Like an Oksana Grigorieva.
Keep talking.
When you,
keep talking,
when you look at something like, you don't have anything like that in your life, do you?
Well, excuse me, did I not hear that you were like a professor or something, engineering?
No, I'm asking the questions. Do you have a beautiful woman in your life like that Grigorieva?
Absolutely,
yes,
I do.
No?
And I've had one for 22 years.
When you say that, I know that you're lying.
Well, what do you mean he's lying? He's obviously talking about a woman that he's been with for a long time. Are you married to her, Christopher? I thought you said you were living with her.
Didn't have to marry her. I'll marry her the day that I'm about to die so she can have everything that I have. But I don't have
she's
to
already
marry
got
now.
Everything. She's already got everything you got because the palimony suit will give her half of everything anyway. So you're not
palimony? Really?
Yeah.
Like we have
right.
children?
Yeah. No.
You need to think about what you're talking about. Because honestly,
exactly what I'm about, friend.
You don't
that
need
woman,
to be on this radio
name?
Talking stuff.
What's your woman's name? What's your woman's name?
What? Excuse me, sir?
What's your woman's first name?
I have to get that. Elaine.
Elaine, if you're listening, you have a palimony suit right now against this chump because you've been living
I'm
with him for 22
now?
Years.
Now I'm a chump.
And
Phil, you hear this?
I'm
a chump now.
You're a chump because
I'm
this
a chump
woman
because
has
I
got a palimony
this,
suit.
This individual. Now I'm a chump.
All right. Well, I don't think you guys are talking to each other.
Well, there's nothing to talk about. This guy thinks he's got it all figured out, and she's about ready to put a gaffing hook in him for half of everything that he's got, which I guess means half of the auto detailing business or whatever he does. And I'm trying to say that this Grigorieva, now that's a piece of tail. And if you ever see anything like that walking out of this guy's house, you better do a double take, get yourself some bifocals.
All right, thanks so much. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know, but that gentleman said he was living with that lady, and you're saying palimony, and we're not even talking about that. You know.
No, we're talking about how men can have freedom, and this guy is living with a woman for 22 years, and he figures that he doesn't owe her anything, and I'm saying she files a palimony suit against him. He'll be bleeding from every hole. Excuse me. I got, that, excuse me, Phil, will you?
Yeah.
That bran muffin, don't you ever feed me that again. Don't you ever give me that bran muffin again.
Where are you?
I'm at the Starbucks, I told you.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here in Toronto. It is Tracy. Tracy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that I think he's very insulting to him, and I just can't believe some of the things he's saying. It's like we're objects. But my main point is that Mel Gibson, he is a little crazy. And besides that, you know, he can let go of a woman like that, not because he's
right.
free, but because of availability. He knows he can find something else, something better.
Exactly.
He's Mel Gibson.
How does he find something else? Because he's free. He's free. The
well,
average guy kicks a Roxana, whatever her name is, I don't know, kicks her out of bed. He'll never see that again as long as he lives. He's just
but I don't know if that's actually freedom, though, you know, because freedom to me is freedom and peace of mind. But what if she was actually really good for him and he was just too crazy to see it? Is the next thing around the corner always the best?
Yeah, could be in his case.
It could be, but maybe not. I mean, like, to always say...
I mean, the guy's got enough money, he can say, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to go away for about 5 weeks. I'm going to go to the wherever, and he'll find something. But I'm just saying that this...
Yeah, but they're not objects. They have brains and feelings and thoughts, and maybe she was actually good to him. I mean, how do you know? Like, he's throwing away something.
About the Oksana.
Oh, maybe. But I'm saying, in order to allow a excuse me for saying this, but in order to allow a rear end like that to walk out the door, you've got to be free. You've got to be free and clear.
And well, I don't know about that. I mean, I've dated a guy 9 years younger than me, and he was really, really strong and gorgeous.
9 years younger
I let him
you.
Go
wait
because
minute,
emotionally.
9 years
he
younger
was,
than you. That's that. You're saying you dated a guy that was younger than you. You're the woman.
Yeah, you're younger woman. Than me, stronger than me, making more money
right.
than me. And I let him go because I knew I could do better. But
well, no, no. He let you go. If he's making you.
No, she said she let him go.
Wait a minute. She's older and he's got all the money. No, he let her go.
I got news for you.
And
buddy.
I don't mean to be. I don't.
I let
to,
him go.
I shouldn't talk that way, but okay, you let him go.
I did. Because he was very rude to me and he became very mean. And so I let him go.
Well, I mean, is it possible that this guy was rude to you, Tracy? Do you think he was rude to you because of what Don is saying?
That's what I'm saying. That guy had the freedom and the power. He had the power.
No.
Well, in a lot of ways.
That's insulting, yeah.
Yeah, but in a lot of ways, and Tracy, I respect you. You're a very intelligent woman. But in many ways, freedom for a man, true freedom, is to see the woman as a whore. Not because you hate women.
Come on.
Oh, no, hold on. If we
so
can
we should be
become,
proud of men if they can see us as whores?
If we as men can become free enough to see every woman first as a whore, and then as we get to know her, now she's the woman that I love, then that...
Oh, come on, man. You know, Don, that's the way a lot of guys already think of women, and you see the result of that.
Guy that actually knew I was with the younger guy, and he's a really strong guy. He's actually doing very well for himself, and he knows me first as a friend, and he wants to be with me even though he knows that I have passed the other guy. Not because
you're with the guy before. You have a man now, did you?
I have a man now that's very, very strong, very good looking, and I'm happy with him. But you know, he's known me for a long time. I've known him for like 5 years, and I rejected him twice.
You
and
like,
he doesn't see me as a whore.
You like younger men, don't you?
I don't really care. Don't have a preference.
Okay, because I was going to say I'm a college professor. I don't know if that's...
You're married, Don.
I know I'm married. And I think the lady laughs, but I know I'm married. But if I had an opportunity to take this lady to dinner, are you going to destroy that?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
I was just saying, you're married.
I know I'm married, and you know I'm married. But if I was going to ask this lady to dinner, you just basically kicked that in the groin, didn't you? My offering that lady to go to dinner, you just took a steel-toed boot and stuck it in the groin. Didn't you? Didn't you?
Yes, I guess I did, yeah.
I'm sorry, Tracy. I wanted to take you to dinner.
Well, being that you're married, I don't date married men.
Oh, what?
Sorry. Tracy, thank you. It was nice talking to you. And you sound like a nice lady, so good luck with your life. 877-876-PHIL.
Can I, when we get on, when you go to your break, can I talk to you?
Yeah, okay. But I apologize. I didn't know that I was here getting you dates.
You're not here getting me dates. But did you hear that? Now, that sounded like it had potential.
I'm not here getting you dates, man.
Yeah, okay.
877-876-PHIL. I don't know what he thinks is going on. I'm not going to get the guy dates. Well, you know, we've had, I think the women who've called tonight have been very intelligent. We're talking about Mel Gibson, the fact that Mel Gibson exhibits freedom when he's able to tell a beautiful woman to get out while the getting's good. And that's the kind of freedom that men should aspire to. In fact, we just heard Don say that really men should have the freedom to look at all women as whores, and only after that do we fall in love with them. Wow. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I didn't say anything of the sort.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. You see, Don, hear anything in this righteous rage story that was in the Daily News?
No, I don't know about that. I don't think it has any interest for, what we're talking about. We're talking about Mel Gibson. having the temerity, having the guts, really the courage to look at a woman as put together as this Oksana lady is and say to her, I don't want you. Oh, I don't want you. And I don't think he even broke a sweat doing that. Now, most men can't do that. And what I'm saying is if a man can reach the level of freedom where he can take a look at something like that, built like that, and say to it, you know what, you're a whore. I don't countenance men telling women that. I'm saying it's the first step toward freedom, and that's real success.
Well, you're telling me that it's success. It's the impetus here is financial success, drive, the economy.
That is exactly correct.
And in order for a man to be driven, he must first see other men with hot-looking women?
There was a time, Phil, when you'd go into a man's study or into a smoking room and you'd see the heads of wild game. That doesn't happen anymore. What do we look at now? We look at Mel Gibson, and what has he got? He's got the, and I wanted to use the word, that starts with an H, but he's...
I understand what you're saying.
Well, I don't think you do.
I do understand what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. Sarah in Whittier, California, listening on KTLK. Go ahead, Sarah. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Don Mixa.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Don.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay. I just have a question for you. Let's go ahead and say that you were not married and that you met the most beautiful Russian model with double D's. Lovely
Tina
Bass, as we call her.
I like it. I like it so far.
And let's say that she...
But I don't say that out of disrespect.
...that you actually wanted to date you.
I don't say that out of disrespect, though.
What?
A piece of ass. That was just me talking.
Okay.
Okay, I'm having trouble, kind of hearing.
Well, Don, where you are, is it? Can you find a quieter place, Don?
I'll try to move over toward the other restroom here. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you hear what I said?
No, I did. I caught the tail end. I think you said if I was dating a Russian with double D's.
I just said if you met a beautiful Russian, we'll just say someone who looks exactly like this woman that Mel Gibson threw out of his, home. And say
right.
She was absolutely interested in you and you, of course, with your mindset, you see this beautiful woman, you want to date her. What if you come to find out she's just the dumbest, dumb bitch you've ever met in your life? I mean, are you telling me that you'd stay with her just because she's beautiful? You don't care about what's behind the beauty?
Well, I think you're missing my point. My point is that I have the freedom to be with her or not, you see. If I am not at that level of freedom and courage that Mel Gibson has achieved,
I'm stuck with her.
I'm stuck with her. Yeah, no, I would want to stay with her because I won't know anything better than that in my life.
Wait, but you're married.
Yes, I am married, but you have to understand, when something like that comes into the life of a man like me, you don't just tell it to get lost.
Because I can tell you for... I have a problem with the fact that you're generalizing all men to that they think exactly like you do. I can tell you right now that my husband would absolutely not be with a stupid woman. I don't care how beautiful she is, he would not be with a stupid woman. He can't handle a stupid woman. And I think there's a lot of people out there that
well,
I don't
tell
know
her
how
again,
beautiful
then he would
the
tell
woman
her.
Is.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You mean your husband right now. Well, he would, but he wouldn't leave you. He would, but he wouldn't leave. He'd stay with you, but he'd still, as men like to say, tap it or whatever you like.
There's a lot of phraseology I don't like here. Referring to women as it, tap it.
I apologize. But what I'm saying to the young lady is her husband would never leave her. He loves her, but you've also got this other, woman.
So in other words, he would cheat on his wife to be with this beautiful woman.
You can't let an opportunity like that pass you by. You can't do it.
I disagree with you because you're generalizing all men to be filthy pigs. And I realize that some men are like that, but there are some men in this world. Yes, you're a pig. Well, the way that you're talking, you're a pig.
Well, wait a minute, ma'am. You're talking about a Russian model.
Yeah.
She's got, you know what she's got, right?
She's beautiful. So, she's the most beautiful woman you've ever seen in your life.
There's not a lot of men. There are not a lot of men who are out of the closet, who are not in the closet, who are going to say, well, I ain't going to. I mean, you see, I don't think.
Can I tell you something, Don, that you may not believe?
Go ahead. Oh, you're going to tell me that you'd pass it by.
If I was in love with a woman, yeah. If I was my wife, you know, or a woman that I was in love with, yes, I would.
I think that's very dishonest.
Well, no, it's not dishonest.
No, I think it is dishonest because you know that you're on the air, you're live over I don't know how many radio stations, and you want to impress this woman here that you're some kind of a great guy. You know and I know. Yes, you would.
No, I would not, and I don't care if I'm on all these radio stations. No, I would not.
You know, Phil, the lies are what causes the rage. Hypocrisy is what breeds rage. A very pleasant good evening to you.
All right, well, he hung up on us, Sarah. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL, man. World famous Phil Henry Show. Larry Grover
Phil
next.
Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We decided to form a Tea Party caucus for one very important purpose.
I think that Levi's actions will speak louder.
I feel bad that they made this about her.
I forgot he was black tonight.
And that's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast here at the El Pacifico, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. On this show, truth is our bitch, and we'll take you anywhere we need to take you and beyond to find it even through that old looking glass. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and you can also watch us right now on live streaming video at philhenryshow.com. And if you don't have a backstage pass to watch and to get the downloads not only of our shows tonight and over the past week, or to watch our five-day video archive, but also to get hours and hours and hours of downloadable audio from our archives of the Phil Henry Show going back many years, then you just aren't living life. You just are not enjoying the best part of life, my friend. So go over to our website, philhenryshow.com, and get your BSP. We again thank our very dear friend Don Mixer for being with us last hour, talking about the Mel Gibson case. We're going to move into the area of the GOP caucus that has defended the Tea Party, saying it is not racist. I think you heard just a taste there of, if you'll pardon the expression, taste, when we're talking about Michelle Bachmann. But I, anyway, here is Michelle Bachmann as she explains the purpose of the new Congressional Caucus, the new GOP caucus defending the Tea Party. It is not racist.
We decided to form a Tea Party caucus for one very important purpose, to listen to the concerns of the Tea Party. Now, what we are not the mouthpiece of the Tea Party. We are not taking the Tea Party and controlling it from Washington, D.C. I am not the head of the Tea Party, nor are any of these members of Congress the head of the Tea Party movement. The people are the head of the Tea Party movement in all of their forms.
All right, let's get on the line here. Larry Grover. Larry is with the Conservatives of Kerr County and has been a longtime contributor to our program on political matters. As Larry joins us this evening from Culver City, California. Larry, good evening.
Good evening, Bill.
What do you make of Michelle? But now, before you say anything, let me just read to you a little bit of this story. A group of two dozen House Republicans led by Michelle Bachmann officially launched the Congressional Tea Party Caucus on Wednesday, strongly defending the grassroots conservative movement as a positive force in American politics and repeatedly insisting it does not have racist motives. Many congressional Republicans have long associated themselves with the Tea Party activists who emerged during last year's stimulus and health care debates and sharply opposed President Obama's agenda. But Bachmann's move to create this caucus formalizes their relationship with the GOP. What do you make of that?
I'll tell you, Phil, as a conservative of Kern County, and that is in every sense of the word, I was born and raised in the Central California Valley. My values are conservative. And I am not beholden to any political party. We've supported Republicans in the past, but our movement, and now we have officially aligned ourselves with the Tea Party movement, our movement is about getting things done in Washington. She says that the Tea Party movement is not racist. No, it is not racist. I'm a white man, and I do believe that white people should be given a little bit more support in the national political agenda. I very proudly say that. If that makes me a racist, I guess I am. But I don't wish anybody ill will. I don't wish any blacks ill will. I don't wish any Jews ill will. And I don't wish any Mexicans ill will. But I do hope that the white people of this country start to get their fair share. And because of that, I very proudly align myself with the Tea Party. I say that I'm not a racist against others. I'm a racist for whites.
All right, well, a lot of people are going to have a hard time understanding that, because when you say that you're not a racist against people, you're a racist for people, the definition of a racist is one who believes that one race is superior or another inferior, and you'd have to be redefining that.
No, I don't think I'm redefining anything. I don't think that I'm superior. I'm saying that I support my race. I there's only one people that I care about making sure that they get taken care of, and that's the white people of this country. And white people have been gradually moved out of the mainstream. If I say to you that I'd like to see a white man become president, it doesn't mean that I don't like having a black man president. It just means right now I'd like to see a white man as president of the United States. If I say to you that I'd like to see the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants of this country have some legislation that's aimed at them and have them get the United White People College Fund, and I'm not calling, and somebody is going to call me a racist. And
well, you've called yourself a racist.
I'm not a racist. I don't burn crosses, Phil, and I don't go around telling people that they don't have a right to be anywhere. I don't believe that. I just believe that our white race has been pushed around over the last, you know, and I think the Tea Party knows it. And
are you saying that your view of race is somehow conforms to the Tea Party?
I think that I'm very comfortable in the Tea Party movement. I'm not saying I don't speak for the Tea Party movement. I'm very comfortable in it, and I think the Tea Party movement simply says, okay, we got the blacks got some. We've taken care of the blacks. We're taking care of the Mexicans. We're taking care. When are we going to take care of our white people? When are we taking care of the white race? So if that makes me a racist, then I guess I'm a racist.
Let me ask you something. You said white Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
That is correct, yes.
All right, I'm a Catholic of Irish extraction. Am I a white man?
You are, of course you're a white man. You're saying what? You're saying
I'm saying that you say white Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
I'm saying that the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant is the germ. It's the core of the white man. But I'm saying that. And by the way, Phil, you mentioned that you're Irish. I've got a lot to say about that. But the germ and the core of the white white people are the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Now, you said you're Irish. Do you know that the Irish used to be portrayed as monkeys in the press? And
yeah, I say in the 19th century, yeah, exactly. So does that mean that you're in favor of Obama looking like a monkey?
No, I don't think that I think that I look at a cartoon and I think it's funny. And I say, well, that's President Obama. He looks like a monkey. And I laugh. But the Irish people were made to look like monkeys, too. And I don't hear anybody addressing that.
And that was over 150 years ago. That was a long time ago.
No, it might have been a long time ago, but I'm saying something about it now, because as a white man, I'm glad that I'm finally able to say that I have allegiance to my whites, and that I'm trying to help my whites the best way I can, because it's been a very difficult time, a very difficult period for whites. And we have gone through a lot, and we have lost our homes, we've lost our jobs, we don't have the money that we used to have, and we're out of work, and no one's taking care of the white. And so, to that end, I will be a part of whatever movement I think pushes forward the agenda of the white man.
And all right, and you say the Tea Party does that?
I think the Tea Party comes the closest to any of them in recognizing the needs, the special needs of whites and what they've been through, and to try to help whites raise their living condition. Again, I'm not here to denigrate or downtrod anybody. I just like to say on behalf of the white people that I'd like to see them get their fair share. And if that makes me a racist on behalf of whites, well, then that's what I am.
Larry Grover joining us here, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We were talking about the Tea Party, and the fact that the GOP caucus says that it is not a racist organization. And you're claiming, Larry, that you're not a racist, but you're saying that you are in favor of whites. And
I'm in favor of the white man advocating for whites so that the white race is not marginalized to the point where it's no longer something to... I'm proud of my white people. All right? Now, the Tea Party, they can be proud of whites or not. But I'd like to see some legislation put forward.
What kind of legislation are we talking about that's going to help white people?
Well, you're saying what kind of legislation will help white people. What kind of legislation helps black people? Education, get a bank loan. I'd like to get some of the same things that the blacks have. Bank loans and cars. If it's a free car, I don't know how it works.
There's no free cars, okay?
Well, whatever it is that they've given to Mexicans and blacks, I'd like whites to get too. So if they get a house or a free house or however they're working this out with a lot of these people, I'd like to see that for my whites. Because right now I don't think my white people are...
You call them your white people. What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by what? I call them, it's my race, my white race. And I'd like to see my white race get bank loans and free cars the same way blacks and Mexicans get.
Well, there's no free cars, man. I don't know where you were hearing that.
They had that junk, whatever that thing was that...
The junker car, I don't know. Hold on the line here, Larry. All right, Larry Grover from the citizens of Kern County on... he's comfortable with the Tea Party caucus because he believes... that it's time to speak up for the white race. He says he's not a racist, but he is very much in favor of white people and getting white people what it is they need. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We got Larry Grover from the Conservatives of Kern County and a self-avowed supporter of whites. And we'll be back talking to Larry here in a moment on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show with me, Larry Grover from the Conservatives of Kern County. We're talking about the recent GOP caucus defending the Tea Party, saying that it is not racist. And you agree with that, Larry, even though you are a very much proponent of the white race. I must say that you're different from a lot of white, so-called white races I've spoken with. There's a lot of hatred or dislike of minorities.
I'm not going to waste my time, and I think that's what has happened to our white people is they've wasted their time being opposed to Jews and blacks when we should be in support of our white race and what we need. And I say whatever the Jews and the blacks and the Mexicans get, I say whites get too. We need, for instance, grants. And to that end, I'd love to speak with Congresswoman Bachman about grants going to white-owned businesses. I think she'd be receptive. I think she would listen.
You know what? Can I interrupt you here for a second?
Go ahead.
I think if Michelle Bachman entertained a meeting with people who are advocating white-only business loans?
No, they're not white-only business loans. I'm saying they're business loans that go to whites just like they go to the blacks, is what I'm saying.
Well, I'll tell you right now, in my opinion, it would be political suicide for her to talk to you.
Well, you say political suicide, Mr. Henry, you're out of the loop on what's going on in this country. White people are really upset that they don't have. Is there an office of white culture? No, there's an office of multiculturalism on a lot of these school campuses. There are minority business loans, but are there white business loans? No. There is the United Negro College Fund, but there's no United White Man College Fund, and on and on and on it goes. The support of.
Well, what do you mean by when you say white culture? The office of white culture.
I mean those aspects of the white race, which we brought to this country. We keep hearing about what others brought to the country. We brought some things to this country. We brought in terms of the culture. And one of the things we brought to this country was the actual idea of having a country.
And well, I'm the reason why I'm saying this.
No, don't. You got to hear this.
No, I know what you're saying, but the reason I'm saying this is if we begin to nitpick every single thing that everybody did, then we're not going to get anywhere, are we? We're going to say, oh, the white people brought this and...
Well, I'm not even saying that, but when we talk about swimming, white people brought swimming as a competitive sport to America, and what we get for our trouble is we're told that swimming kills blacks. Now, I'm not blaming black people, but I am blaming those people that would blame us for bringing swimming to a country that has killed black people.
Do you know why black people drown when they swim?
Yes, I do. I have my theories.
Well, the reason is because of the lack of education when it comes to swimming in those neighborhoods. It's got nothing to do with biology or physiognomy or anything like that.
Mr. Henry,
it doesn't have anything to do with it. It has to do with whether it is acceptable as a sport or as a survival instinct. Let's take a phone call here. Ernest in Detroit, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Phil, my comment is
yes, sir.
Larry was on the radio, and I think he simplified the biggest problem with racism it is because he's a racist without knowing it. Anytime you categorize a person according to color, religion, foot size, or anything, that's a part of being racist, and we need to cut that out and start being the people instead of categorizing
everything. I don't think that's true, Ernest. I think that when you have the United Negro College Fund, I don't call that racist. I just want to have the United White Man Fund. I think when you
White
have
Man
the,
Fund, why it just can't be all... I mean, why does color have to come to it anyway? I mean,
well,
but,
that's a very good question.
To the color point, hold on, wait just one second. Getting to the color thing, a black person is the one that really needs the help as far as anyone, because we were brought to this country with nothing. We had no family. We didn't come over here with no money, no nothing. We the only one. We really are the only person that should get some kind of help because we was put in America with nothing.
But in the process of that, white people got stripped. They started taking stuff away from whites and giving it over to the black people. And without
they
even
started
a thank
taking
you,
stuff from white people, giving it to black people.
In what sense are you saying, Larry? When did that happen?
When did that happen? I told you guys, when a black person drowns, they blame white people for making swimming, for having swimming.
Well,
and that I don't think is fair.
Black drowns blame a black person for not being able to swim.
They blame the white man for bringing swimming to this country.
Let's be real about this. Let's not start making things up. See, now what you're doing there is exactly what you're blaming black people of, blaming the white man because he drowned because he didn't know how to swim. When it ain't like that, that's the same thing that you're doing right now.
But no, sir. Hello? Please don't blame me.
I got to jump in here. Larry, I've never heard anybody say the white man is to blame because he brought swimming to America. I've heard people say that it is tragic because teaching kids how to swim in some black neighborhoods is not a priority, like it may be in a white neighborhood as a survival technique. Okay.
Well, no, you're making it sound politically correct. I'm simply saying that I don't think I should have to apologize because I brought swimming to America.
What do you mean you brought swimming to America? How do you bring swimming to America? The Indians were swimming.
All right. Well, you didn't want me to bring up the Constitution and the form of government that was invented by whites.
You know something, Larry? I don't know if, in point of fact, it was. Are Jewish people white?
I don't. There were no Jews that signed the Declaration of Independence that I know of.
Were there Jews in the Continental Congress?
Mr. Henderson.
Were there Jews in the Continental Congress?
Well, I know that there.
And were there black people in the Revolutionary Army?
Yes, there were. Yes, there were. And they were very brave. And they fought for the country. But the white people were the ones that were in Philadelphia getting all the money and everything for it.
Yeah, and so there were black folks who would have loved to have been in the Continental Congress, but weren't allowed to be in the Continental Congress. So they went and they fought in the army.
I think you twist history so that you denigrate the white. And all I'm saying is why can't I back up a white man every now and again?
Anyway, yeah, Ernest, thank you for your call. I think we preempted Ernest there. I apologize for doing that, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We've got about 40 seconds left here in this hour. I'm going to take a break here in a few seconds, but I want to ask you, Larry, because I'm a little disturbed by our conversation having to do with the founding of the country, okay? And I think that people are constantly bringing this to the fore. They're saying that, you know, whites invented this form of government.
Well, they did.
We don't know what black people might have brought to the conversation because we never allowed them in on the discussion. Do you understand what I'm saying? You say that white man brought this.
What are you talking? The form of government, the representative form of government that we have was brought here by a white man. There's nothing against that.
No, but we don't know what we have is purely the result of European culture and what might have been had we allowed other people in on the discussion. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Larry Grover with us from Conservatives of Kern County. He calls himself a white man.
Phil Hendry.
I am a white man.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
On the line with me is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Now, Larry, this is an example, you said, of the kind of white cultural music that you would want to hear in some of these white cultural offices on campuses.
I'm looking at examples of white culture, yeah. When you listen to Ray Conniff. The other, this is...
What's his name?
This artist is Ray Conniff. Ray Conniff. Now, the other question that I had was, Dennis Prager is a talk radio program. He has a whites-only phone number.
Dennis Prager has a whites-only phone number?
My understanding is Dennis Prager does, Art Bell does. And it would, I think, go a long way toward engendering a level of trust among whites who listen to your program, Mr. Henry, if you had a whites-only telephone number. We have so many things for blacks and Mexicans and to that extent Jews. But we have nothing for whites in the private sector especially. The public sector, we fall all over ourselves getting free bank loans and houses and cars for blacks, but not for whites. And so
you think a whites-only phone number is going to make up for it?
No, sir. I'm not saying make up for it. I'm saying it would be a gracious step, sir, to have a white man phone number on your radio program.
Well, I got to tell you, it's not going to happen for a lot of reasons. 877-876-PHIL.
What? Give me one of those reasons, sir.
That I don't know whether the person calling is white or black.
I don't think there's anybody listening right now that would know that would have a hard time figuring out the difference between the sound of a white man and a black man. And
I think that's a racial stereotype that isn't true. Let me go to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Dominique in Denver listening on KTNI. Dominique, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I just want to say there is no racial thing. We are all one race, the human race. And we're all in the same boat. I mean, it's just the way that you apply yourself. You know, if you apply yourself to certain things, then of course you're going to get that American dream everybody wished for. You know, we're not getting free cars. We're not getting, there's no jobs out here or nothing like that for us. We're in the same boat. So as far as him saying that it's, you know, it's a black thing or white thing or a Jew thing, it's nothing like that. It's how you apply yourself. And believe me, if you apply yourself to the full extent, then you can have anything you want in life.
Well, all right. Can I make a statement, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
The lady, you're Dominique, is that right?
Yes.
All right. You know that, do you know any white women named Dominique? I don't think you do.
No,
that's
I don't.
A difference. Okay, so there's a difference between whites and blacks.
Right.
We don't name our kids Dominique. And
well, what
right.
difference does that make?
I want just one more example. Tell me if you like this music or not. If you do, then... Can you hear this, ma'am? Do you like that?
Well, play it for her. You can't...
Begin the beginning. You know that song?
No.
What's your point?
What is your point?
Did the lady like it? Do you like it?
No, that's just a song. I mean, that's here and there. We're not talking
white.
About a song.
That's a white song.
So do you like black rap? Do you like rap? Do you like R&B?
No, I don't. No, I don't particularly like it, no. I mean,
do you like Eminem?
He's the white kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Eminem. I do. I'm not a racist.
See, that's difficult for me. He's white, so I want to like him, but I don't.
Well, what does that mean, man? Think about that. He's white, but you...
My name is not Dominique. I'm Dominic. My name is Dominic, not Dominique.
Well, okay. Is it spelled
D-O-M-I-N-I-C-K. And I know that's not my name. I know that's something that it was gave to me, but, hey, I'm living with it.
Well, I mean, I'm saying, do you know any white man named Lionel? No, you don't.
No, I don't.
All right. That's not the point, though, here. You know, we're getting sidetracked here, Larry. When you talked about the GOP caucus saying that the Tea Party was not racist, and you agree with that, right?
I do.
And you come on my program and you say that you're not a racist, you just really support white people, okay?
I do, Phil, yes.
Then why did you refuse to meet with Michelle Bachmann?
Michelle Bachmann is doing a great deal for the Tea Party, but she's Jewish, so I can't sit down with her. We're looking for a place where a white man can relax. And
Michelle Bachmann's Jewish.
I'm assuming she's Jewish because of her last name, yeah.
Dominique, thank you, or Dominic, rather. Thank you very much for your call, okay? Appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL.
Would you let the lady go because she didn't want her to be privy to the nasty conversation we're going to have? Because that's what it sounds like.
Well, it doesn't have to be nasty, you know.
Sounds like you're being very gentlemanly and letting the lady go. Are you going to start to call me anti-Semitic? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah.
I'm not against Jewish people.
But you don't want to have a meeting with Michelle Bachmann because you think she's Jewish, even though she is in favor of the Tea Party agenda.
We wanted to have an office to have a meeting with a United States representative where we could sit and relax as whites. When I found out that Michelle Bachmann was backing this caucus, I said, here's someone we can break bread with, and then I realized the last name is a giveaway.
But you don't know that she's Jewish. She could be German. She could be anything. You don't know that that's a Jewish last name.
Well, 5 will get you 10 that the name Bachmann has some roots in the, European, medieval European history when Jews were, relocated to the Eastern European. I don't know. But I'm trying to play this down the middle. I don't want to be too... I know that a lot of people think I'm a racist because I happen to support whites. I know a lot of people think I don't know anything because I listen to Ray Conniff.
And that Ray Conniff music, man. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call, which wherever that may be, I don't know. Here is Danny on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Danny. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover.
How you doing, Phil? I'm hearing this guy talk. He is anti-Semitic.
Turn the call up, will you? Turn this caller up because I can't hear him.
This guy is anti-Semitic. He's a racist. He doesn't know what the Tea Party movement is.
Just because you say that doesn't make it true. Just Just because you say
I'm not saying that.
I just support
I'm not
rights.
Saying it. You're saying it. You're saying it yourself.
How?
You're saying it yourself.
If being a racist is supporting whites and the white agenda, or not the white agenda, but the
I'm going to give you some education right now.
The white man plan.
The Constitution of the United States says that all men are created equal.
The Declaration of Independence says that all men are created equal. Right.
Not only white men are created equal. You know, the United States was made by immigrants. Every single man. Every single man that signed all the papers that were made in the time of the Revolution were immigrants. They came here to make better lives for themselves.
They were
make
white
immigrants. Lives for their families. And that's the principles that they were putting out for everybody.
I agree with everything he said.
Whites, blacks, Latinos, all of
us. Blacks that signed the Declaration of Independence.
We have the same right as you, the white man.
All right, let me ask the gentleman a question. Do you like this music? Do you? Yes or no?
I'm controlling the show.
Yes or no? Do you like it?
I'm a musician, so I like every kind of music. So.
All right. That's great. That's all I wanted to know, Phil. I can't take it anymore.
All right. Thank you for your call. I'll take a break. Or not a break. We got to move on to another phone call. Why am I moving on to another phone call?
Because I decided that guy was...
I'm going to be the guy that decides it. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Kendall in New York City. Go ahead, Kendall. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover.
How you doing, Phil?
Fine, sir.
Okay. You can hear me fine without a problem?
I can hear you great, yeah.
Okay.
I can hear the gentleman.
Well, the young man that you have on the phone at the moment, the one that you're talking to, he's very misguided, and he has a lot of misinformation. First of all, if you want to talk about what black people receive, black people don't receive anything more than anyone else. As a matter of fact, throughout history, we've always received less. Okay? So I wanted to make
that point. What do you call the affirmative action?
Affirmative action. First of all, affirmative action was not invented for white people. It was invented for white females who could not get a job. That's why they brought affirmative action in. It wasn't for black people, per se.
What are you giving me, anyway? What is this guy handing me?
He's right. Affirmative action was originally for equalizing the workplace when it came to women.
Well, okay, but then they eventually gave it... I don't know about that.
It's true.
They didn't eventually give it to anyone. I mean, it's for anyone who wanted to...
Black women?
No, women.
And it was white women at the time. Seeking, they were trying to get fair into the job market. Okay? Fair treatment within the job market.
Yeah.
So if you want to talk about even bank loans or anything like that, black people have been on the bottom of the totem pole for all of that. So you got to get the facts straight before you want to come on the air and say what's what.
But you can't deny the fact that nowadays you don't ever hear this on the radio. Do you?
I guess it depends on what radio station I plan to listen to.
Well, what's your point?
My point is that kind of music has been pushed out in favor of the hip-hop. And
you didn't answer my question when I said Eminem is white. And you said, "Well, you like Eminem, but you don't like his music." Isn't that the quandary you have, Larry?
What do you mean quandary?
You got a white kid that is a hip hop artist and one of the biggest selling hip hop artists ever.
You're trying to tell me? No, I don't buy it. So Ray Conniff might have had a black singer. That guy there blowing that horn might be black.
Oh, will you shut up? Listen,
thank you
very much, sir, for your call. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break. 877, the guy playing that horn might be black. 877.
Those are all black women singing right there. And you can...
877-876-PHIL-HENRY-SHOW. We'll be back with Larry Grover, 877-876-PHIL, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
How retarded.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And we are on with Larry Grover, conservatives of Kern County. And I'm told, Larry, you were at the Orange County Fair. Is that right?
We are at the Orange County Fair, Phil. It's just open. It's going to be on for another couple of weeks. We had a great time tonight. And
well, I it's good to talk with you, but I feel it's unfortunate that you come on the program with this attitude and this misinformation.
Mr. Henry, I have not come on the program with any attitude.
You're coming on the show playing Ray Conniff music and saying to black people, do you like this? You're emphasizing difference, difference, difference. And one other thing, Michelle Bachmann is not Jewish, okay?
Well, it's still I understand that, but we did go ahead and schedule with Mike Pence anyway.
Why Mike Pence?
I think that Mr. Pence is a safe choice given the questions we had about whether Michelle Bachmann was Jewish.
Why don't you... you don't call yourself anti-Semitic.
No, sir, I'm not.
Then why can't you sit down with her?
Because she's not white, Anglo-Saxon, Christian, as we view white to be. You know?
And I'm a white man, but I'm not.
Well, you're not the white Anglo-Saxon. You are of Irish descent. You are of Catholic descent. And at one time, this is unfortunate, but at one time, my ancestors, Phil, had no problem characterizing yours as apes. Monkeys sitting on a keg of whiskey ruining our country. Now, whether this was true or not...
You know what? I'm not even going to lump myself into the category of oppressed immigrant because there's no comparison. Black people and Jews and women have had it horribly in this country. At the bottom of the list, black people.
All right. Well, if you want to drink the Kool-Aid,
Oh, here we go with the Kool-Aid.
Well, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. If there's a black, whatever blacks get, we want. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you just heard about three or four people say they ain't getting anything special.
What about the affirmative action?
You heard the guy say that was invented for white women.
That sounds like such bullcrap.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Michael in Nashville, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Larry Grover.
I'm actually a white male from Atlanta, Georgia. I heard that mentioned earlier, something about some monkeys sitting on something inside of Atlanta. I grew up on the south side of Atlanta. I come from poverty, just like, most of the people around me, which were African American. Yes, sir, I am Irish. Yes, sir, I am Irish.
All right, the monkey was the Irishman.
Okay, well, regardless, my point, I'm just calling in to give my point of view on the whole, the racism thing that we have going on. I don't have a problem with, supporting my race. I'm white, yes. Did I grow up in a predominantly black neighborhood? Yes, sir, I did.
Do you mind if I, underneath your comments, I want to listen to you, sir, but do you mind if underneath your comments I play Ray Conniff? Is he?
Will you knock it off? Go ahead, sir.
All right. Point blank, period. Everyone's out eliminating racism, But my point, me being a white male, small stature, not a very big guy. I'm 150 pounds, about 5'9".
All of a sudden, I'm getting this guy's weight and height. What is this, a prize fight? How tall are you, sir? How tall are you? Sir? Is the Irishman in Atlanta there?
No, he's not there. The poor gentleman was having a hard time with his phone. Thank you so much, Michael, though. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Shoshana in Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening to us on WPLZ. Go ahead, Shoshana. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I was wondering.
Are you a Native American?
No, I'm not.
Are you Native people?
No, I'm not.
Yes, dear. Okay, go ahead.
So, well, I was wondering, you can tell a person's race by their name. What do you think I am?
Well, I think that you're black.
You think
no, you
I'm
didn't.
Black?
You asked her if she was a Native American.
I think you're white. I think you're white.
You
just said you asked her.
I'm right. You're white.
I am white, and when I got married,
You didn't. You said you thought she was an Indian. Then you said she's black.
No, I didn't. I said she's white. I said I hoped she was an Indian with a name like that for her own protection. That's all.
For my own protection. Okay, she's.
Well, you're walking around with a name like that. You're going to have a lot of people think you think you're so special with some hippie name.
No, it's not a hippie name.
Whatever.
Okay, Larry. So, Shoshana, what is your point of view, dear? Go ahead.
My point of view is I just don't understand why he thinks he can stereotype people. I mean, honestly,
don't stereotype people. What I do is I stereotype situations. If I play this song and you like it, does that make you white? Yes.
I don't like
it. If you
it.
Didn't... well, what do you mean you don't like it? I don't understand.
She doesn't like it.
I will tell you something, Phil, because they've done research, and so it's unfortunate that she would say what she said, because...
It's unfortunate.
I know for a fact you do like it.
No,
Did you say you were white or didn't you? You said you were white.
Yes, I'm white.
So it's... then it's impossible for you not to like this.
Will you shut up with that music?
How impossible is it that I don't like that music? It's gay. It's stupid. There's no point to that music.
So in other words, what you're hearing are a lot of proud white voices singing, and you call them gay?
No, I think that's stupid. They're stupid. There's no point of that song.
What do you mean, no point?
There's no lyrics. They're going ba 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 ba. There's nothing going on with that song, man.
Oh, well, okay, Jackson. You know, flip me some skin. What an ass. You polluted the white race tonight, Mr. Hendricks. You polluted the white race.
Phil Hendricks. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I think that Levi's actions will speak louder than
words. Being so afraid.
Deutschland ist Mitglied einer internationalen.
Germany is a member of an international convention.
I'm running as an independent. It's stated the only legislative state authority.
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And this is where truth is our bitch. And we go anywhere to find that, even through the looking glass. Muslims are angry with their employers for not letting them follow aspects of a particular holiday. We'll talk about who they are and where the employer is. And ex-NFL coach Jimmy Johnson. I thought he got kicked off of Survivor.
No, I'd say he think he's on Survivor.
Yeah, I think he stayed on Survivor.
That ain't what I read, man. I read where Jimmy Johnson got bounced off of Survivor. Well, we'll figure it out. 877-876-PHIL on our website, Phil Hendry Show. He's on the upcoming season, which it hasn't aired. Okay.
I told you.
All right, fine. I thought he got bounced. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along with me here in our news hour. Speaking of that, we have Bud's news, right?
Well, it's going to be called the Bud Dickman Report.
The Bud Dickman Report.
Yeah, they changed it up on Mr. Hall. We'll talk later.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, he said he wants to.
All right, so the Bud Dickman Report later on. 877-876-PHIL. And our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for all of your radio comedy and other needs. Just go to our website, get a backstage pass, and get with it, okay? We got the live streaming audio. We got the downloads of the audio. We got the live streaming video. We've got a five-day archive of the video. We have years and years and years and years and years of archives and downloadable archives as well on our website. And it's like about the greatest purchase in terms of your entertainment dollar you're ever going to make in the history of your life. PhilHenryShow.com. All right, speaking of bitch, a legislative candidate from Wisconsin can't use a profane... What is the thing?
Well, I just want to know if you're going to find out if Michelle Bachmann's a Jew or not.
You've been talking about that.
What do you care whether Michelle Bachmann's a Jew or not?
Because I just want to know if she is or not. It doesn't make any difference to me, but I just want to know.
Why?
Because some people that I know...
Oh, well, isn't that interesting, huh? Some people you may know.
The guy's got all the Aryan Brotherhood people.
I don't know any Aryan Brotherhood. I'm just saying.
I'll tell you whether Michelle Bachmann's Jewish or not when you tell me why you want to know. Or you can go find out yourself. Either way, is she Jewish? A legislative candidate from Wisconsin can't use a profane, racially charged phrase to describe herself on the ballot. An election oversight board decided on Wednesday. And what is this so-called profane phrase? I've never considered this profane so much as it's just crude. What is this phrase? It's not the white man's bitch is the phrase. Now, there's nothing wrong with the phrase, in my opinion. But I do feel that there are some areas of life where we don't have to devolve into comic book land or hip-hop video land, or just as if we're in a locker room talking amongst us slobs. You know, is there nowhere that we can be that we, you know, observe some kind of a decorum? That's all. I might well want to vote for this lady, but not the white man's bitch sitting right there on a ballot. Her name is Ishu Griffin. She defended her statement of principle, not the white man's bitch, to an election oversight board in Wisconsin, which ultimately decided against her.
I'm running as an independent. It stated the only legislative state authority stated as far as a statement of principle is to have five words or less. My statement of principle says not the white man's bitch. And what that means is it's not pointed to a particular person. I'm stating that. In my point of view, the average politician is a token, and a bitch is not a person. It's a dog, a female dog that rolls over. Historically, the white man is not pointing to a man. It's saying the government.
Bull crap.
You can't say that, man. I understand what she's saying.
That's fine. You may understand what she's saying, and that may be well and good. I'm just saying... I'm getting tired of the crude way that we communicate. How about that?
Yeah, but you say truth is our bitch.
Yeah, what about that?
Yeah. You know, so what's good for a goose can be good for on the gander, too. When you say that you don't want to have a bitch.
But I understand. Well, your point is well made. Point's well made. Let's put it this way. This is a radio show, and this woman... is running for something. This is our electoral process. This is a radio show is a radio show. There's nothing. This doesn't do anything. I sit here and I expend hot air, and we hope people listen, and maybe they do and maybe they don't. But at the end of the day, if this radio show doesn't survive, the only guys that are out of work are us three, right? But if our electoral process doesn't survive, that's a very serious thing. So I consider it a very sacred process. That's all.
Yeah, but she explained about what a bitch is.
I ain't buying that. I'm sorry. The bitch is the man. Whatever, you know. The white man's the man. Maybe. I happen to know as a white man what white man means to me, and I don't, you know, particularly like that. But that's, be that neither here nor there. She can say it if she wanted to, if it was appropriate. I don't think the forum's appropriate.
Well, what do you mean by that? And you still haven't addressed the you know, the white man is our bitch, what you say.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I don't say the white man is our bitch.
I mean, when you say truth is our bitch.
I just got done telling you guys, this is a radio show. It's not the electoral process.
Yeah, but so what?
This is nothing. What we do here is nothing. What they do when people go to vote is everything. This is nothing. We can say bitch or not. We can say this or not. It doesn't matter, man. We'll be on the air tomorrow, or maybe we won't be on the air tomorrow. Maybe we'll be down the road someplace else. It doesn't matter. It's not going to kill anybody. But our electoral process is important, and I just think we need to maintain a certain decorum. That's all. I get sick and tired of every single facet of life being denigrated to the level of some foul-mouthed gathering of cats swilling, 40s on a stoop someplace.
Yeah, now you're making all about race, see?
Yeah, now you're talking about black people.
You know what I'm talking about. I just would rather there be some areas of life where not everything is just a crude joke, man. That's all I'm saying. Good God almighty. Why don't you guys understand that?
I don't know.
I'm in a golf club once. I just got off 18 holes of golf, and I'm sitting in a very nice club. And I'm actually enjoying the atmosphere because I hadn't golfed at a place this nice. I mean, it was very nice. It was out in the desert. It was a course that had been designed by Jack Nicklaus. And very beautiful course. In fact, it had some very interesting aspects to it. There was like a boxcar. He took an old boxcar and used that as a cart bridge and just weird things. And it was kind of a Scottish Lynx. And
yeah, you're going to get to the point here?
Would you get out of here?
Yeah, get to the point.
I'm getting to the point. And I sit down and I'm having a beer. And at the table next to me are about four or five guys.
You know, I said this. You told us a story.
I didn't say it on the air.
No, I know, but you told us a bunch of Mexicans.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you come on, man. I wasn't going to add that in there.
Yeah, but you sounded a bunch of Mexicans.
Go ahead. Tell a story.
Well, not going to tell a story now because now you screwed everything up. Now everybody's going to think I'm a racist.
Yeah, well, you told us, man, you were sitting down there. There were five or six. You said a bunch of caballeros, what you said.
Yeah.
That isn't right, man. That is not right what you cats did. I was going to tell the story. You didn't have to throw in the Caballero aspect to it, okay? Now I don't even feel like talking about it, because as far as I'm concerned, it's not even worth it. All right, what?
David.
Why do you got to... Yeah, David.
Tell the story.
If I tell the story now, it's going to sound like I'm anti-Hispanic or something.
Yeah, but you told the story to these guys. You said it was Caballeros, right?
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
Some Mexican guys.
All right. You're going to have to tell the story now. The audience is going to be writing letters. They're going to be emailing. They're going to say, well, what was Henry talking about? You can't leave them hanging like that, okay?
That's it, Mr. Hall. He wouldn't believe me or anything.
I got it, okay.
I'm sitting at the table, okay?
Yeah, and you're having a beer.
I'm having a beer. And I hear these guys, every other word out of their mouth is MF, 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 and MF this, MF that, and that MF shot, and that kind of thing.
Bunch of Mexicans, huh?
I didn't say that, okay?
Well, maybe in the future, Mr. Egalitarian, I see no skin color, Phil Hendry, maybe...
I never said I don't see skin color.
Well, you're all on about the racial harmony and all this stuff. Maybe in the future, you won't be called upon to report some of these stories if you don't tell them in private, especially to Blabbermouth there, who got on the horn with me not 5 seconds after you started talking about it. Haul out.
Haul out. When did he start doing that?
He said he's going to be doing it.
And thanks a lot, man.
Well, man, you're the guy that told the story. You said a bunch of caballeros going MF, MF, MF. I won't even be talking about Mexican.
Yeah, why'd you say caballero?
Because I was just joking around with you jackasses. But now I know you're at me, so that's fine, man. I ain't never going to say anything to none of you guys ever again.
Oh, don't be like that.
I'm not. All right. 877-876-PHIL. And even after you doing what you did, we'll have Bud Dickman's update coming up. Workplace bullying may soon be illegal in New York, like it isn't already. What kind of a headline is that? May soon be illegal in New York. Anyway, plus we'll tell you why Muslim employees are mad at Electrolux appliances. 877-876-PHIL. I guess they can't pray when they want to at Electrolux.
Pray when you want to at Electrolux.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show and website philhendryshow.com. And 20 years of the Phil Hendry Show, we celebrate our 20th anniversary. It's actually our 20th birthday. I learned a 20th anniversary is like your first anniversary would be your first birthday. No, your first anniversary would be the first day of your show. So this would be the 21st anniversary, actually. I don't know if it makes any difference.
Not really.
Yeah, well, but anyway, our show is 20 years old next month. Now, having said all of that, you know, let's move on to this story about some Muslims. Two Muslim workers at the Electrolux plant in St. Cloud have filed complaints with the Employee Equal Opportunity Commission, saying the appliance manufacturer has ignored requests to accommodate Muslim employees who will observe the fasting holiday Ramadan during most of August. Now, one of the workers, Ahmed Said, has worked for Electrolux since 2002. He said the company used to allow workers to bring snacks onto the production floor to break their fast at sunset. Said says a new policy prohibits all food on the production floor, which will pose problems for workers who fast. If you cannot keep up and you collapse, it is very dangerous. If you get dizzy, for example, and you collapse over a machine or on the floor or a forklift, it is very dangerous. Said says nearly 400 employees who work the evening shift at Electrolux are Muslim. A solution will be presented to the union representing production employees and expected to be finalized.
What's that mean?
I mean, how much of this have I got to listen to?
Well, yeah, man, but they got a right on account of the Muslim just because.
Well, that's fine. I got nothing against them being Muslim. I got nothing against anybody being a Jew or a Christian. You know, what I am getting tired of, though, I'm getting just a little tired of every time I turn around religion. And that counts for Christianity, too, and Judaism, too. And everybody's got to have the holiday off for this, that, and something else. I say we go back to work on Christmas, if you want my honest opinion.
You don't even mean that. You're crazy.
I mean it. You don't think I mean it? I mean it. I'll work on Christmas. I don't give a damn. This is the most meaningless argument that we have in our society. Meaningless. This is a nation of laws. This is not a nation of the good book. It's not a nation of culture. You know, if you do any reading, you realize that one of the big differences between our country and, like, the old countries of Europe is the cultures of those countries and Asia and sub-Asia or South Asia, what I call sub-South Asia. I don't know. I just called it that. Is that the culture is older than the society. It's older than the laws of the land. Not in America. Not in America. The law is as old as the society that we created, with the exception of Native Americans, and they don't count.
Right.
Now then, well, you know what I mean. So, religion in America is only as old, really, as the civil structure that we built to protect it. And you know how they say, what is it, God giveth and God taketh away? Well, same thing with Uncle Sam, man, as far as I'm concerned. And this is getting a little tiring for me.
No, all they're saying is they want to be able to eat a snack, like have a snack bar or something.
Yeah, because they're going to break the fast.
I know, man, but I'm got blah, 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 blah. I'm getting all drowned in this bull crap about the production employees, and they're represented by the guy and the thing and the thing. And I'd love for somebody to make a statement. That, you know, we're very aware of this, and you know what? We're in a recession this year, and, you know, we're going to work on Christmas, and I know people are going to be flipped out. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're going to respect the rights of Jews and Christians, then you better just lay the red carpet out for Muslims, too. Everything they want, they should have.
Well, what else do you want to have off? I mean, they're not even taking off on account of they fast.
What about washing their feet? What about stopping down to pray? All that jazz.
I think they figured that one out.
They got that one figured out?
Yeah.
All right. As a matter of employee safety, Electrolux does not permit food in the production area of our plants, according to a Tony Evans, who's Electrolux's vice president of communications in North America. Electrolux. Why do I know that name? What do they make?
Look it up. I think they make like a car.
A car?
Yeah.
No, they make freezers.
What? No, they made a sports car.
The Electrolux.
They make kitchen appliances, you Fruit Loop. What do you mean, sports cars?
Don't you? Ain't you never heard of a sports car?
Not called an Electrolux, I haven't. You ever heard of that new sports car they got out called the Frigidaire? That's, boy, that really motors, man.
I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I don't get what you're saying either. In any event, this is the third request to a federal agency to investigate complaints of racial and religious discrimination against Muslims in St. Cloud. Oh, no. The U.S. Department of Education is currently investigating the St. Cloud School District over complaints that administrators ignored racial harassment against its Muslim and Somali students. The Minnesota chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations recently asked the FBI to investigate a recent vandalism incident targeting a Somali-owned grocery store in St. Cloud and other instances like that. Well, that is no good, and you got to get rid of that fast, right? And we will not stand for that. But I just don't want to see any of the production held up by any religious group at all.
Well, like, what do you mean?
I mean, we're coming out of a recession, and it's all hands on deck. I want automobile plants working 24 hours a day. People only get like a 15-minute break. I want everybody on 18-hour shifts. I think we ought to put the country on a wartime footing. That's what I think. Honest to God.
What do you mean? We're not even in a war or anything.
Oh, don't bawl like a baby.
Not talking about a real war.
The way to get the country out of the recession that it's in is to put the country on wartime footing.
What does that mean, wartime footing?
I'm talking about 12-hour workdays, 6 days a week, daycare for the kids, get the women into the plants. Let's go, man. Everybody works. We got this and that and all this crap to do, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
All right, let's go, man. We got bridges to fix. We got all this freaking money out there that nobody wants to spend. Let's go. Let's get everybody up off their ass. Give them a shovel, a pick, something. Everyone who doesn't have a gig, and stick them out there and get them to work and give them a paycheck. I know it would never happen, but it sounds kind of romantic and cool, don't you think?
Man, nobody's going to tell me to go out there.
You got a job. I ain't even talking about you, although I could fire you, and then we'll see what happens.
I don't want to go out there.
Why not? Either one of you guys ever done any manual labor?
What do you mean by that?
Manual labor. Have you ever done it?
Is that in Mexico?
What do you mean in Mexico?
What do you mean?
Manual labor, man, with your hands.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever dug ditches? Have you ever hammered a nail into a piece of wood? Have you ever done that kind of work?
Not really. I mean, I worked at a recording studio one time, and I work on my bike, and
yeah, I do sometimes around the house.
I'm talking about a job where you guys work with your hands, manual labor. Never?
Not really.
Everybody ought to do that. Starting your life, you want to dig ditches, you want to get dirty, get sunburned. I mean, get so thirsty that you're drinking out of every faucet you see. They dump your ass off at a job site at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they come and get you in the afternoon at 5 o'clock, and you've been digging a hole just for the sake of digging a big-ass hole. Just go ahead, dig a hole there, kid. Why? Well, I don't know. I may want to put a pool in. Dig a hole! Everyone should do that kind of work. You guys should have done that kind of work instead of you sitting there with that fat ass, Robert. And what the hell is that?
Cheetos?
Get the Cheetos out of here, man.
I told you.
That orange crap all over the show. 87's Electrolux is a sports car.
I thought it was.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, we've got the Bud. We've got Bud's news. 877-876-PHIL. Plus, an employee of the hit show House, a former employee, is suing for harassment and discrimination. I can't wait to hear this story, man. Because, I just can't wait to hear this story. Harassment and discrimination. We're going to find out what that's about. An ex-employee of House and Bud's news coming up next here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Yeah, man. Your mouth is orange, man. Wipe it off.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And now from our studios in El Pacifico, California, this is Bud News.
I'm Bud Dickman, and Bud News. President Bush is not going to be, they're not going to talk about when he fired a man, and they said it was okay when he fired him. There's a gay zombie, and they made a movie of him. If you go see it, it's pretty good, the gay, he's a zombie and he's gay, and also, there's a story about the Senate of the United States.
Right.
And now more from Bud News.
The BP, the ones that blew up the Gulf of Mexico, is they're gonna review it. In another story, Lindsay Lohan, she cried and everything. She's a wreck. Then another story. Excuse me. There's Africans. There's a bunch of Africans, and they were being peacekeepers on a Kenya in Kenya. Then another African, or I mean not Africa, in Korea, and they said in Korea, you better, they'll blow up America if they do things that they don't want to do. And another story, Volvo has got, they made some trucks, and people are bought the trucks they made. I'm Bud Dickman. Is that?
Yeah, that's fine, man. Jeez. Yeah, David. David Hall.
Yeah, look, hey, buddy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Back off the phone, will you? God. Turn the music off.
Turn it off.
All right, Bud, listen, that was good. Now, here's what I want to do. Turn that music off, will you? I can't stand that. How many times I got to say that?
I couldn't find a switch.
Couldn't find a switch? I think this is good, Phil. I like the Bud News, but what I wanted to do, because I think it's working for the part of the audience that is not as highbrow, and they need their news, and they need it good, and they need it sweet, and they need it the way Bud does it.
The way Bud does it, huh?
You know I do it good.
He's doing it fine. Don't worry about it. But I think the way to get more people listening is to call it the Bud Dickman Update, or the Bud, what I'd like to call it, this is, what night is this?
What night? This is Wednesday night.
Wednesday. I'd like to call it the Bud Dickman. Yeah, the Bud Dickman Wednesday Night Report.
The Bud Dickman Wednesday Night Report.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question here, if I could.
You're just trying to mess it up, Mr. Vall.
Hold on, what?
What do you mean, the Bud Dickman Wednesday Night Report? This cat can barely read, okay? And
well, look, I understand your concerns, but what I have found in our research is that Bud is able to attract a certain segment of the audience that's a little more blue-collar, that may not have the erudition and education of the listener show. And if I were you, Phil, I would, you know, get off my high horse a little bit and get down there in the mud with people. You know, get down there with the real people.
Wait a second, man. You're assuming that the real people understand the news when Bud reads it that way.
What's he doing?
Yeah, what am I doing bad?
What's he doing bad? The Senate did a...
Yeah, it's good. It's very concise.
I edit as I read.
You edit as you read. Volvo made a truck.
Right. They did, didn't they?
The story about Volvo has to do with the money. It's a Swedish automaker, and they've returned a profit in the second quarter.
Who gives a sweet you-know-what about that? No one cares about them returning a profit in the second quarter. Basically, what they're doing is what? They're making trucks, right?
Yeah, they're making trucks. They're making cars. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what Bud's saying.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody cares about the second quarter or anything that's gay like that.
They don't want to hear that gay stuff.
What do you mean gay stuff, man? This is returning to profitability. This is important business news.
Phil, I'm telling you, 99% of the audience doesn't want to hear about the business news. They want to know whether Volvo's making trucks again. What are they doing? Are they making cars? What is a Volvo? Nobody knows. So, Bud, I would like to do that. And, Phil, if you could introduce that again. Just use some of the old copy.
Oh, whoa. Hold on for a minute, man. I got a show I got to do.
You got a show? Oh, well, excuse me. You got a show you got to do. Well, I don't want to interrupt this show that you got to do with 20 minutes to go before 1 o'clock West Coast. You got some big story you need to do, huh?
Well, I mean, I'm going to...
Well, we'll just do this, if you don't mind. All right, Bud, when I say go, Phil, you cue him, use the news sounder, and then, Bud, I want to hear you really rock it this time. You understand?
Get it, Mr. Hall.
All right. 3, 2, 1, blast off. Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. I can't hear anything. Are you playing the news?
I'm playing the news, Senator. I can't hear because of the damn phone you're on.
The phone I'm on?
All right. Let me try this one more time. All right. Go ahead and count them down.
3, 2, 1.
From El Pacifico, California, this is the Bud Dickman Wednesday Night Report with Bud Dickman.
No. Don't say with.
All right. This is the Wednesday Night Report. Don't say with.
Just say this is the Bud Dickman Wednesday Night Report. You're going to say it's Bud Dickman. That's like saying this is the Phil Hendry Show with Phil Hendry.
This is the Wednesday Night Bud Dickman Report.
No. This is the Bud Dickman Wednesday...
Get them out of here.
You just talk like Mr. Hall in the middle of my big moment.
Here's your big moment.
Ow.
No.
What am I going to do?
Next week, we'll do another Bud Dickman Wednesday Night Report.
Man, I'm glad they're not a Volvo make a truck. People want to hear about how I do it.
Oh, well, isn't that just Marvy? And the president? The president?
You just wish you knew how to do it good like me.
Yeah, sure, man. What was that other story you did, bud? Oh, yeah. A gay zombie.
Oh, yeah. There is one.
Yeah, it's a gay zombie porn movie that they banned at an Australian film festival.
Nobody cares about that. They just want to know about a gay. Or, I mean, about a zombie being gay.
Oh, brother, man. I'm telling you. Is he beautiful or what?
Wild, man. I would like to hear that story, though.
About what, the gay zombie?
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell the story is. There was an Australian film festival, I guess, that banned some movie about a gay... What do you give us? You know, one of the things about comedy, humor, or however you want to put it, right, is that it tends to mine a lot of the same territory. And here's what I mean. Mainstream comedy. There was a film called Attack of the Killer Tomatoes... And there was another one called Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And all of these movies, which came about as the result of our reconnection with the real kitschy, corny stuff of the 50s. Like Plan 9 from Outer Space is not and will never be a film that was intended to be funny. Ed Wood made that movie seriously.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, he still got string coming from a cardboard plate.
I know, he had string coming from a cardboard plate, and it was the corniest, cheapest thing you ever saw in your life. But the facts are, if you look at a lot of the sci-fi from the 50s, man, it ain't much better. I mean, Monster of Beach Party, you can see the zipper on the back of the suit the guy was wearing in that film. So everybody became very enamored again. It was sort of a nostalgia for that period of cheesy science fiction. And so there was a satirical movement afoot among filmmakers to satirize that. So we had Killer Clowns from Outer Space. We had Attack of the Killer Tomatoes and stuff like that. Okay, I get it. And we've been there and we've done that. Now, every time I see a movie like that, it's not even funny to me anymore.
Well, I mean, are you sure that's supposed to be funny?
Gay zombies. You don't think that that's supposed to be funny?
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean...
Come on, man. And I guess it was... And probably it wasn't funny. And so they got done with the movie, and they decided, well, we got to do something with this movie because it sucks. It ain't funny. We better make it really offensive and disgusting and get some press for it. I know, you know. And then they included something in the movie, and they got banned from this film festival. And now the filmmakers are walking around thinking they're all this... Because, wow, our movie got banned, you know, must be important, must have something to say. No, it was offensive, and it didn't make anybody laugh, and it was ugly, and it sucked, and it doesn't belong at a film festival. There, that's your movie. Have fun. You know, what I was saying before the show, what happened to Bud?
He's probably crying because you yelled at him all about the Bud Dickman report.
Oh, what a baby.
I don't care.
So that's like I was saying before the show, you know, when I was talking on the pre-feed, I said, and there are, well, I better not say, it's a very big advertiser, and they do an awful lot of television, and they do radio, and it's a great product. It's a phenomenal product. Make no mistake. But their ad campaign on TV it's killing. I mean, it's like, here is our campaign to murder comedy before the the end of the decade. We want to just kill comedy, and so they have taken the big broad joke and they're just pounded it into the ground. I don't know. Anyway, 877-876 Phil, world famous Phil Henry Show. Maybe I'll find that zombie movie story, and maybe I won't. But we'll be back here with more on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. And welcome back to our program. Well, I guess it's not supposed to be a comedy. If you tell me that there is a movie out and it's a gay zombie porn movie, someone better tell me that the guy that made it meant to be funny. Otherwise, we have come full circle and we're back to the days of Ed Wood. I don't know. Or not really back to the days of Ed Wood where the effects were cheesy, but back to the days of a straight-faced movie about something asinine. So here it is. A gay zombie porn flick which shows aliens engaging in necrophilia has been pulled from Australia's biggest film festival after being rejected by censors, according to the organizers. And what's the name of the movie? It's a gay zombie porn movie that shows aliens engaging in necrophilia. What do you think the name of the movie is?
Gay dead gay man.
Yeah, Dawn of the Gay Dead.
Dawn of the Gay. Dawn of the Gay Dead.
What's so funny about that?
That's a good name.
That's a great name. You're right. It ain't that. Dawn of the Gay Dead. I love that, man. Night of the Living Gay Dead.
Is that what the name of it is?
No, that's not the name of it. Here's the name of it. And you wonder why people have a bad idea of the West Coast. Every time, you know, I hear it often, and I don't comment, but I hear callers say, oh, you're in California, no wonder. Oh, you're on the West Coast, no wonder. Well, I have to tell you, California is pretty normal. I mean, outside of the few square miles that occupies Hollywood, it's a pretty normal place. You go out here to Pasadena, I swear to God, you're in Omaha. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know the difference. Go out here to Pasadena. Go into a Rite Aid. Go into a grocery store. You're in Des Moines, Duluth, Minnesota. You wouldn't know the difference. No. Here it is. Here's the name of the gay zombie porn flick. Made in France, by the way. L.A. Zombie.
Are you kidding? They think there's nothing but a bunch of gays?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's called L.A. Zombie.
L.A. Zombie is the name of the movie. And although I love Dawn of the Gay Dead, somebody out there better make that one. L.A. Zombie was also features homosexual sex. All right, so it's a gay porn movie that has a zombie theme, and I'm assuming, I still have to believe it's if you'll pardon the expression, being a gay film, tongue-in-cheek.
I don't get it.
Just don't worry about it. L.A. Zombie, which also features homosexual sex and full frontal male nudity, is the first film in 7 years to be banned from screening at the Melbourne International Film Festival, which starts on July the 22nd. Which, by the way, you know that they're in the middle of their winter right now. So it's almost like they're having their Sundance Film Festival right now.
What do you mean?
Down in Australia, it's wintertime.
Yeah. What?
But I don't have the time.
Well, what do you mean it's wintertime? It's summertime.
It's winter down there. It's cold down there on account of the way the sun is.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about if you ever went to school, you'd realize that the earth tilts during the seasons and the sun gets closer to certain parts of the earth and it gets further away from other parts of the earth. And right now we're in our summer, which means the earth is tilted toward the sun in our hemisphere. But in the southern hemisphere where Australia is, the earth is now further away from the sun. So they're having their winter.
I don't know what you mean, but I'm not going to ask any more questions. All you ever do is yell.
Oh, would you explain it to him?
I will.
Festival director Richard Moore told the Age newspaper he'd received a letter from censors rejecting the film by Canadian director Bruce LaBruce. Bruce, you fruit. Why don't you call it Toronto Zombie, man? Yeah, you're right. It doesn't have the. It just doesn't have the same flair. Described by Moore as a video art zombie film, L.A. Zombie stars French porn actor François Saulger as a man convinced he's an alien zombie sent to Earth to roam the streets of L.A. in search of dead bodies and gay sex. In that order. Australia's Film Classification Board said the movie had been denied an exemption from classification, not banned, as Moore had claimed. An exemption would have allowed the film to be shown at the festival, but board director Donald McDonald... I said, we got Donald McDonald and we got Bruce LaBruce. Is this some kind of a joke? Donald McDonald and his friend Old McDonald said that he had concluded, and Ronald too, the film synopsis and the director's previous classification history, L.A. Zombie was not suitable for screening, even for adults. Was it disgusting? No, it was dull. Roaming the streets looking for dead bodies and gay sex. Looking for gay dead sex. In the opinion of the director, the film is classified, would be classified, X18 plus or R blah, 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 blah. This is a bunch of bull crap. They probably have a form they got to fill out, and this is what they think it is, and they turn it into the film, and then the guys, they review it, and they look at the movie, and then they say, your movie sucks, and we don't care what you think it ought to be. We wouldn't screen this thing, man, even if it was 2 minutes, if it was a two-minute cartoon. Films may not be screened publicly unless they are classified. While classifications of X18 plus or RC prevent a film, is this the Australian way of doing it? Prevent a film from being shown in most public cinemas. Moore has defended the festival's attempt to show the film, telling public broadcaster ABC, that would be the Australian Broadcasting Company, that people have a right to. What are you looking at me for?
ABC's American.
It's the Australian Broadcasting Company, because this is a story out of Australia. How many times have I told you, man, do you have to kind of read ahead and you have to, you know, get the essence of it? Like I told you, the AFL was the Australian football?
That's bullcrap. I don't believe that.
That's fine. I don't care what you believe. People have a right to judge it for themselves. Do we have a right to judge it for ourselves even before we've seen it?
What do you mean?
I mean, if the guy said... He's defended the festival's attempt to show the film, telling ABC that people have a right to judge it for themselves. And I agree with him. But do I have the right to judge it for myself even without seeing it?
Well, how can you judge it if you ain't seen it?
I can judge it. You can't tell me I can't judge it. I can judge it, and I want to judge it for myself.
Yeah, but you can't judge it if you ain't seen it.
Yes, I can. I can judge it wrongly. I can judge it poorly. I can judge it inaccurately, but I'm judging it.
What are you talking about, man? A guy said you got to judge it. You have to watch it to judge it.
No, you don't. No, you don't. If I judge somebody who is innocent and I judge them to be guilty and I send them to the gas chamber, I've judged their ass, haven't I? I've judged it wrong, but I've judged them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the same thing with this movie. I'm not going to see it, but I'm still going to judge it. It sucks.
That's not fair, man. People are going to listen to that. And I said that you Phil Henry said it sucked. And I think everybody should go see Night of the Gay Dead.
I agree with you, man. If they'll change the name to Night of the Gay Dead, I will go see it. L.A. Zombie will have its world premiere next week in Locarno, Switzerland. Boy, this cat, whoever the guy was that made the movie, is getting around, man. Bruce LaBruce. I know that name, man. Why don't you look it up? I think he's like actually a bona fide good movie director. L.A. Zombie, last year's festival drew protests from China and had its website hacked over the decision to show 10 Conditions of Love, a biopic of an activist there in China, who they didn't want. The cat's from some region, U-I-G-H-U-R.
Oogie.
Okay, anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz, our technical director, of course, Charles Wagon, and our screener, our associate producer, is Dan Northcraft. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, where we will have an extensive review for you of Night of the Gay Living Dead, or whatever. World-famous Phil Henry Show, until tomorrow night, later.
Don't forget the Phil Henry website, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry.